the future does not exist.
Hello, dear earlobes. You find us at the podcast that is The Future Does Not Exist. And once again, there is me, that is Damien Leslie.
And
there is you.
It's me as well, Richard Foster.
And there is you.
And it's me, Marcel van Schoten.
And yeah, all three of us are in the same room.
Yes, and at the same time.
Yes, on the same day.
And it's not even the future.
Although I am a whole year older than I was yesterday.
So the future actually does exist.
It arrived. It does exist. In an ungodly hour this morning when I had to get up to come here.
So but, like 28, how does it feel?
Pretty much like 47, to be honest. So, I'm a little bit worse for wear, I have to say. So if I start to live, like, my head is full of devils and demons having a right racket right behind the eyes. So if I start speaking in tongues or, like, spouting eldritch incantations, I do apologize.
But did you have, like, a Dutch birthday party?
Almost, but with no Dutch people.
And sausages?
No.
Did you not it was
very much like a Dutch party in that people came to the house and we all kind of sat in a semicircle.
But was it one circle or two circles? Were the
just
man
one.
And women divided?
Oh, they were definitely split, men on one side and women on the other.
Ah.
I'm not, that seemed to be ladies' choice, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of Mexican food involved. Which was nice.
Mexican food?
Yes.
In the Bull and Strike?
Yes. Homemade Mexican food.
Is it like a Bull Max?
No.
Not Tex-Mex, but Bull Max?
Yes. Lissa Bowl. And an ungodly amount of alcohol.
Oh.
But
at your
fun
rate.
Was had. Stories were shared.
Marcel, I'm worried. You've just mentioned two circles. And in birthday parties I've been in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been one big circle. Could you explain the two?
Oh, no, I was at my mother's birthday party a week ago, I guess. And there you have a proper setting. There's the high tables where all the women get together and talk. And then you have the couch and the lower table. Where all the guys get together.
Right.
And there's the house is not that big, so there's not really a dividing part, but there is two chairs on each side that show the border between those two groups.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a plucky leverwurst and a bit of cheese.
Uh-huh.
And first you start off with a cup of coffee and some cake.
Some cake. Yeah.
And then at 9, you get the question, would you like a beer or do you want some coffee anymore? And then
off you go.
After a couple of beers, the stories start getting more louder and more, mm-hmm. more like, no, that's not really that appropriate.
Mm. I want to know, like, why, when it's your birthday in the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
everyone else says, gefeliciteerd to everyone.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, what the hell is this going to do with the actual birthday person? Because everyone comes in and just goes, congratulations, 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 for hours.
Yes.
Yeah. Even to people who don't know the person.
No, exactly. So it's a complete stranger says congratulations to each other about the person who's not receiving the congratulations, who's probably in another part of the room. Where does this come from?
It's sort of a polite thing that you congratulate everybody with the person who's having their birthday party.
Hmm.
It's a nice thing.
It
I
is a nice thing.
I still don't understand
it's just,
it, really.
It is.
But and it's sort of...
It's nice.
It's not that common that complete random strangers appear on birthday parties.
No, but you often... they could be complete strangers to you because it could be a friend
distant
of
relative.
A friend.
Yeah.
And what I find strange is that I have to go up to people that I've never met. And then say congratulations on someone who I probably haven't met either because I've been invited to on behalf of like somebody else.
Yeah, but
then
it's also, that, it's also a way of introducing yourself to the group.
Yes, I think it's a nice thing. It's just totally alien from a kind of a UK perspective, I suppose.
And I wonder if it's actually, I've never really heard it outside of the Randstad.
Oh, it's very, it's very present.
It's everywhere. Okay. I think if you, the more south you go, the more social it gets.
Oh, the Provence, yeah. Burgundische Leven. All right, okay. That's just
and also, if, it off. When you at work, if you're in an office or a factory or this, that, it's your birthday, you have to bring treats for everybody.
Yes.
Yes, it's your birthday.
Yeah.
And that's why expect? I've never had a birthday in an office.
That should be reversed. You should be treating me on my birthday.
With ale.
Oh, no, but if everybody does it, then you have an equal amount of birthday celebrations. So the only one that you have to provide something for is your...
You could flip that like entirely the other direction and it would still work. But the answer, people, is don't work on your birthday.
I don't.
Saved you a fortune.
It doesn't matter. Does. People will remember that it was your birthday.
Yeah. Oh, the best version of that ever. Do you remember Ronnie Tweed? Bless him.
Yes, I remember Ronnie.
Ronnie. Backers. He came in on his birthday and bought cake for all of the management and nobody that sat on it. It's like nobody else. So there was hell on. And Martin was like, just going crazy at him. He's like, you bloody like stuck up bloody ass kissing. He's like, what? And he came and walked right through the canteen and delivered a tray of cakes to the management. Ah. And like all his colleagues, all his friends were like, you
that's disgraceful. that's the enemy. That's camp commandant stuff. Oh, Stella Glove stuff, that, isn't it? That, you know.
Oh, he was disowned for about 3 weeks.
That reminds me of actually another felon. I remember one time someone, when I was working in a factory, someone left some flowers behind for someone's birthday and the person was allergic to flowers. So they gave them to an office, like just one of the people on the floor, Emma. She's from Middlesbrough. She's a really nice girl. And she was overjoyed. She said, I'll put them in the office just to keep there. And then the accountant, who was a shifty piece anyway, we'll talk about him at length later, just took him home for his wife.
Wow.
Everyone disowned the accountant. Even the office staff disowned the accountant. For and he was still as shifty as anything. And
how did you find out?
We just saw him blatantly. Yeah. Just took him.
Ah, okay.
You know, that kind of Dutch office kind of way, you know, like, oh, they're mine. I'll appropriate it. He was really into Renault. He was into Robin Reliance. Yeah, there's a three-wheeled car. He loved them. And, you know, there's a sports version of the Robin Reliant. And he really liked that as well. I'm not joking.
When I was a kid, the next door neighbour to us in number 2 Church Street, Peter and Susan. Paul came later. She kicked Peter out and married someone called Paul. But it was Peter she was with at the time.
Yeah.
Peter was teaching Susan how to drive in a Robin Reliant.
Yeah.
Of course, teaching your wife to drive is not something I would advise anybody to do. It's like, you're just not going to be listened to, whatever.
No.
Anyway, they got in the car, started arguing straight away. So he obviously told her to reverse. She reversed the wrong way, came up the curb and drove straight into our house. Right. But because it being a Robin Reliant and it's made of fiberglass, the whole car just crumpled. So like the whole back corner just like that. My dad walked out. My dad, well, at least the wall's all right. The car was a write off. She got out, stormed in the house and Peter was just like distraught. Yeah. So her driving lesson lasted like 5 seconds and she destroyed the car.
Wow.
Oh.
I haven't thought of that in donkey's years, but
cross-eyed accountant brings back memories.
Brings back memories of.
Yeah. Can we talk about fish?
Yeah, you've got a thing today. Richard wants to talk about fish.
I do.
He hasn't given us any other fish. Like context.
So we're not going to talk about drowning as well, maybe about lifeguards.
What, but like fish drowning?
No, fish don't. Well, they might. I don't know. Do fish drown?
I don't think they can.
I don't know. But what they can do is end up on an excellent platter and one of the many little fish vans in the Bond Strike. I'm really, we've never talked about fish culture on this podcast.
Yeah.
and we've been doing it for ages. And like, it's central to my life.
You do have a thing about fish.
I do.
One of my favourite memories of you is of Haldon.
I love fish.
Haldon Pop Festival, I think 2 years ago. And it was, I think it was a Saturday morning. So we were in the church, so it must have been the Friday or the Saturday morning. Red hot. We're all a bit delicate from the night before. And we're sitting in the church watching Cantus Domus do this really, because that must be the Friday morning. They do this like really nice choral thing. We're all sweating, we're all hungover, and Richard just turns to me and goes, like in the back of the ear, went, "I want a trout now." It's like, what? "I want a trout now." Like, fucking hell, okay, fair enough.
Was that when they were singing Bow? Oh. Oh dear, oh dear.
You did get a trout though.
I did, yeah. A huge one. And and they cut it open with spoons.
Oh, you should see it.
Oh, you should see it, the spoons.
It's like a performance theatre.
Oh, it's wonderful.
But was it like baked then, or
it was like a spoon, it wasn't alive.
We should give a bit of context to this,
but maybe that helps,
right?
Yeah, it was a Croatian trout dish, baked,
okay,
lightly flambéed, and then opened with spoons.
So they bring it out, and your meal consists of four different plates.
Okay, yeah.
So the plate that you're going to eat on, you get a whole bowl of boiled spuds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they are full.
Big spuds.
Big spuds. Like whole.
Whole big
spuds.
So
they're not chopped up, just massive boulders of potato.
Yeah.
You get a bowl of salad.
Yeah.
And then a separate trolley arrives.
Yeah.
Right. And they put one of those kind of, you know, the things they put candles in to warm food on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
They put one of those down.
Yeah.
Right. The waiter comes and, or the waitress comes and puts your bowls around you, gives you a whole bowl of sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So all of that's around your plate, which is currently empty. And then another man comes out from the kitchen, usually dressed in a shirt and tie. So it's all really nicely done.
Yeah.
And they put this platter down, like this huge platter. It must be 3 foot across.
Oh.
And they put this silver platter down on the thing.
Yeah.
And there in the middle of the platter, surrounded by some roast tomatoes, is a giant grilled trout.
Yeah.
Right. And then the guy gets two spoons and then debones the whole trout with the spoon.
And it starts with the head. And he just, I just don't know how you do it. You cut the side, you know, where the trout's guts were. They just sort of clean away any sort of detritus, what have you. And then flip open the trout and then get the neck of the trout. If do fish have necks? Anyway, that's another question. And then sort of, you know, extricates the bones from the flesh. And it's amazing to watch.
And then they take the trout and place it on your plate. And everyone's just in awe. But if you're sitting with four people on a table, nobody else has got any room because this trout dish takes up like about 4 foot of table space.
But we shouldn't talk about German fish. We should talk about Dutch fish, if there are such a thing, and talk about the
Mean if a fish swims from one part of a river down to the, it would change nationality?
Yeah.
EU law dictates so, as we know.
Yeah, but there's also this part of the ocean that's undefined.
Neutral. Yeah, neutral waters. Yeah, that's right. What I want to do is make sure there's enough fish for me for my entire life that I can eat off the Nordvik or Katwijk seafront and with sauce, and then I'll be happy. And we've never, ever talked about this integral part of Dutch life, which actually has its own calendar as well, things like the Nieuwe Haring. And, you know, there's certain other times where mackerel get fished. And, you know, it's certainly on this, that where we are, it's really a big part of it. I don't think it's as big a part of it when you go inland at all.
No, but that's not that strange.
No, true. But it's for a small country, you know, you can get fish to, say, let's say, Zutphen pretty quick.
Yeah, but it's not...
It's not the same, is it?
No.
So
you can't see the ocean.
You can't see the ocean.
Or smell the ocean.
You can't go in, you can't see enormous people smoking their own mackerel. And I don't mean by lighting them with a cigarette thing. I mean literally just smoking them or eels, and there's all these little huts. You see in someone's back, if you cycle around, you'll see in the backyard, there'll be a parling rokerai.
Yeah.
There's a lot around Hillaholm and Lisser of those, actually, funnily enough, parling. Mm-hmm. And they also, if you go to Katwijk or Noordwijk, you'll see these little, they look like a huge tea chest that's turned on the side with a little chimney at the top.
Yeah.
Where you put in about 5 or 6 mackerel and you sit there all day.
You hang them.
Hang them, that's right. Not as in, you know, not as in the sort of bestial torture way of killing someone, but like literally just put by the neck, put them on a...
They put a pin through the head, so it's sort of hanging.
Yeah, sort of, okay. And then you just hang them off.
Off under the gill, don't
you? Yeah, under the gill. And then you slowly smoke them. And and then you sit around drinking ale, waiting for them to be ready, and then you eat them.
Your neighbour.
Oh, your neighbour, yeah. These people, Kingsday, Koningsdag, you see loads of people who've basically done nothing else but drink and eat fish.
Yeah.
Doing that in the open. And there's a rock and roll one. You see that one that he's got speakers on it. He's got speakers on his smoking cabinets where he plays Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Wow. Where's that at?
Oh, you've got to come to Katwijk next year, man. You've got to come. You've got to, it's insane.
Oh.
It's speakers built in to your steamer, your smoker. And then in the middle, there's a deck and he just plays records or puts a radio on. And it's on wheels. It's just the best thing in the world.
Katwijk is an incredible place, isn't it?
Yeah, but the smokers, they have it everywhere. My grandpa used to have one in his backyard.
What? Really?
Of course. It's still going. It's not.
I mean, if your granddad's gone and all that kind of thing. But did your dad take it over? Or?
No, but
you were excited for a minute there, didn't you?
You can just make
it. Thought he had access to a kipper smoker.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can make one on your balcony.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not entirely sure what happened here, but Richard just...
I think Richard is broke now.
Yeah. He's in trouble.
Yes. He just realized...
What have you done to him?
He just realized
we
what
just
he's
got
been
it
missing,
back.
Missing all his years.
That's the mission for next week now.
We'll try to distance my desires from the social cultural history of the Netherlands. Yeah.
Just put one downstairs and enjoy with all your neighbors.
They're
oosgees, they probably don't like all the smoke.
There
like
was the someone smell. Doing it actually recently. There was a big smell of frying fish just on the other side of the motorway. And it was like obvious someone was at it. Or smoking and frying, as in deep frying, as in the smell you get when you go down.
Yeah, but deep frying is a completely different thing.
Totally. We're going to talk about this in great detail in a minute. But like the thing is, there were the two smells were combining, and there's a place just on the other side of the motorway from Oosterhout, which is a very posh part of the Netherlands where I happen to live. One part which is very very unposh, which is where I found myself, me and my darling wife, and the other side, which is very much like, you know, shopping in cakes and wearing horse
shopping in cakes.
Yeah, shopping in cakes, wearing horse riding boots on a Saturday morning. And on that side, on the posh side, there was this smell of fish, like absolutely knockout. Mm-hmm. And there's a little area which has been unclaimed. I think it's some sort of deserted workers. It's some sort of deserted office space that I think they're doing fish in there.
And you didn't go investigate?
It's after about 3 weeks, the smell stopped. And
now you can just go like, my cat is missing. I have to look.
Yeah, you're right. I need to find out if there's any clandestine stuff going down.
Because yes, and you're not going to tell about them unless they give you fish.
No, that's right. No, I'm not going to tell anyone else and have the fish.
the fish tax collector.
Because, that's not a bad I could do that. But the interesting thing is that, because we talk about smoking, right? But there's also the frying, right? Isn't there? Which is another thing. It's not actually English frying fish. There's a difference in the batter.
Yes.
I think
that
gives
different.
A unique kind of flavour. Yeah. And they also do like, you know.
But isn't the biggest difference the size of the batter, probably? The English batter is just thicker.
It's thicker and more eggy. Well,
it could be it, but is the batter in... Is it beer batter?
I don't think it is.
In England, it's usually
I'm not
beer
pretty
batter.
Sure about
it's,
that.
It's beer batter because it goes beer crispier. Batter. Yeah.
Yeah. But frying is not the most common.
It is.
On the markets and everywhere else, but if you prepare it at home or something, you probably wouldn't fry it.
No, that's right. What's interesting about the frying is that when you see the name fish and chips, it's like the German fish and chips, as in small bits of kibbling, as in small bits of chopped up fish.
Yeah.
Rather than a full fish with chips, you know. It is a different thing. I know it's just a name that encapsulates two or three cultures.
Yeah.
But it is quite unique in the sense that you have different kinds of fried fish that all have their unique character about them as well, even though you'd think that the batter would, you know, unify it. So like fried herrings, actually, I really like. Have you ever had
them? I've not had fried herrings.
You should try them, man. They're great. They're really good. And then you've got things like, what's the other? Have you ever eaten cowds?
Yes.
That deep fried cowds. I fucking love that.
I think
roe, for everyone who doesn't know, cows is like, you know, roe as in the fish like what do you call it, what's that stuff, the caviar kind of stuff, you know, fish eggs really. That's whoa. Fried mussels as well, fried cockles, they deep fry everything virtually.
Yeah, there's a lot of like I really like fried sprats.
Oh yeah,
you know, like the little tiny. So you just get like really lightly battered, and you get like a ball of them. Just
oh, they're great. Delicious. Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that they do, which is like weirdly, you don't like if you go to a butcher's in Holland, like you get essentially like three or four cuts of meat, and that's it. Like you have to ask for the rest of it. It's not on display.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fish. Everything's there. Like there's bits of belly, there's bits of like all of every part of it is on
even
display.
Fish heads, you can actually get fish heads, which is really rare. That's a recently a really working class thing in the north of England. You never see fish heads anywhere outside of, I don't know, Bury or Gateshead or something.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing that's only people could afford to make a soup. Whereas like now they're almost seen as a delicacy or something that is, you know, part of the palate, you know.
Yeah, I think it also changed a bit with people from different backgrounds and different countries coming to live in Holland.
Maybe,
I think that also changed what they need to be, what they are able to sell.
Okay.
I don't think fish head was a very common thing to eat in Holland.
Okay, because we used to have a lot of fish heads. We used to boil them up and make a sort of stock from them to make soup.
But that also might be...
It's quite a Mediterranean thing as well, isn't
it? But it might not be the one that you get from the fish shop. That's probably the one that you catch yourself.
You used to get them. Well, what they'd do was you'd say, like, have you got any fish heads? And they'd just give you a bag of them.
Okay.
They'd also do that with trotters and, you know, pig's ears and stuff like that, you know.
And do you also eat the tiny shrimps?
Oh yeah.
The Dutch Holland shrimp. Oh,
those are brilliant. Proper Holland's Kanale, they are sort of, they give Morecambe Bay potted shrimps a run for their money, and there's no doubt in that. They are brilliant. Mm,
gorgeous.
Yeah, my uncle catches them at the sea in Katwijk.
Yeah.
I need to meet your uncle. Me and your uncle need to get on.
Like, he has this little contraption that he scrapes the ocean floor.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he catches them all.
Oh. He's made me very hungry now. There's a really good fishmongers in Lissa, and you can get a very good like mixture of stuff, but it's incredibly expensive. But the best fish shop is actually for me, it's on the market in Haarlem, on the main market.
Yeah.
There's a fish stall there. And you can buy the most exotic fish you can think of. They sell barracuda and all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff. But if I'm in Haarlem on a Saturday, that's my, like when we're in Leiden together, which is like a Saturday afternoon, Richard's normally forcing me to go and get some lekkerbek or something off the market. It's like your thing is to eat fish on it when it's there. But in Haarlem, that one on the market is...
That's another thing about...
If you like your fish, it's like a it's a delight, that stall. Yeah. That's my shopping recommendation for
people. Do you think there's a difference between eating it on the market in Leiden and eating it at Katwijk?
Yeah, definitely. I think in my travels, I've actually, partaken of most seaside town fish. I think Katwijk and funnily enough, Haarlem, Bloemendaal, Zandvoort is really good. Mm-hmm. Like really good. I think Leiden Market's good. It's cheap and cheerful, is Leiden Market. You get a lot, you get more, but it's not, the interesting thing is you get really good quality fish at certain places. And one of them actually, funny enough, is in Oostgeest. Yeah. But he's from, Van der Plas, I think he is. His fish is amazing. He has the best herrings in South Netherlands. There is no doubt in that. The thing is, he always forgets where he's serving me. So I go like, mackerel or something. He'll give me an eel or something. Just because he's normally singing, oh, Den Haag, start achter the down. And he'll be singing that and then forget what he's selling me, which is part of the charm, I suppose. Yeah. But his herring, mm-hmm. and we'll come to herring in a second because that demands its own program, really. They're just unbelievably good, like properly fat herring,
we often go to IJmuiden to get some
IJmuiden is also, you're quite right, IJmuiden is also a brilliant place to go and get fish.
There's also a fish shop in Bollestree called Evelings, which is actually the niece of my dad.
Okay,
so I have fish connections.
Now there's a lot of seafood connections we're learning. We've got mackerel smokers and shrimp poachers.
There's a lot. There's a hidden side to you, Marcel. Yeah. That has not ever really been. Yeah,
what the weird part is?
Go on.
I don't really eat fish.
Okay. Richard's really doing the job for all of us. Is that just from a lifetime of growing up where you just had to eat fish all the time because that's what your family do?
I didn't really like it. I never really got into it.
Was there always someone? I mean, I noticed this with Mariska's late father. There was always someone in the family who took over the reins when the fish came out in the family. So, like Mariska's dad, if there was a family gathering, he made the mackerel salad, which, is you get a smoked mackerel, mm-hmm. mayonnaise, chopped onions, other little sort of pickled things that you mix it all together, and sometimes with cucumber and everything, and then salt and pepper. And then it becomes sort of like a gooey kind of paste, which is very tasty, but to me, being a fish man, just straight down fish man, it was always a bit like, well, this is a bit, it's a bit continental, But it was... Only he could control the fish, right? So he'd bring, and only he could cook the fish. And I've also noticed a couple of my other Dutch friends who've been quite like possessive about their fish cooking abilities. And it's like, no, I'm doing this. Have you had any? Was it the same in your family? Was a kid?
No.
Was there so many of them doing their own thing? Maybe I've taken that mantle in our house, mm-hmm. but I've also noticed Mariska is very specific about certain kinds of fish. It has to be this, it has to be that, mm-hmm. and you have to make it in a particular kind of way.
I can imagine you being that in the house.
Yeah,
but I think I just wonder if I get a sense as a Dutch culture of like, no, this is how you do the fish.
Nah,
you've not seen it?
I think that's just the male thing.
Yeah,
could be a male thing.
It's like barbecues. It's like
the hunter coming back from his hunt with fish.
I see it with friends who don't cook at all, mm-hmm. and yet barbecue comes out, and suddenly they're like world class chefs, and it's like not sure about this.
I'd ban barbecues. If it's down to me, I'd say the three things that changed when I became world president.
Yeah,
one of them would be men wearing long shorts, listening to Travis doing barbecues. I'd have them. I'd just say, right, you are all going for a re-education course in Drenthe or somewhere.
So if a person prepares fish on a barbecue, you wouldn't eat it?
I would, but no one else would be.
You
going
will
to
not enjoy
barbecue.
It.
You'd be the one cooking it, which means you would turn into the person that you're about to get rid of.
No. There's a massive difference here. Not only that I am eating it, but
you wouldn't have the shorts on.
I wouldn't have the shorts on. No, I mean I would wear a.
You'll have the thing. The apron one.
If they would be shorts, they'd be Bombay shorts, and there'd be a sock up to my knee.
And sandals.
With sandals, yes, you're absolutely right. With Brown Clark sandals, you're completely right. And maybe a cravat. But maybe, I think the thing is that you would have, no one else would be allowed to come. That would be the difference. It wouldn't be a barbecue.
You just have a one-man barbecue.
With me, the fish.
Arguing wearing, with yourself.
Exactly.
I'm butchering this fish, get off.
Exactly right.
You
exactly.
And the cat.
Yes. The cat. No, the cat wouldn't be allowed. The cat would be away. But that would be it. But yeah, outside of my absolute loathing of barbecues and any kind of guitar music accompanying it, we can go back to the herring, right? I think we should move away from barbecues before I get more angry. The herring.
I've just got an image of you, right, in an apron with a chef's hat on.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it'd be flat cap.
But I just arguing with someone as like Lemmy appears and Motorhead starts playing as you stood by a barbecue. No, this isn't allowed. I don't know why my prince.
Yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be Motorhead. It'd be more like Travis. I mean, this awful sort of asinine guitar, like stereophonics and all these kind of things they always put on in the background of these. You just see these like lads like baking in this. I mean, literally turning the color of shrimps. They look like shrimps, huge shrimps. Which are shorts?
You can't prepare. You can't prepare a trout while listening to music.
I'm a proud lobster boy.
But they're all. I mean, you know, I have my lobsterish qualities myself. But it's like, I mean, the last time I did drugs, I ended up thinking I was a lobster. But that was medicinal. That was different. That was just microdosing.
Well, at least you've changed animal.
Yeah.
You were a dog at one point.
Oh, the dog. Yeah, but that's it was straight into
and a
Germany.
Cow. Don't forget the cow.
Oh, the cow. Oh, yeah, that's also England. I mean, we're trying to stay in the Netherlands.
Did you ever go fishing yourself?
Do you know what? I can't stand fishing.
Here's the thing. Maybe you change animal in different countries. So in England, you were a cow. In Germany, you were a dog. Yeah. And in Holland,
you're a lobster.
You're a lobster. I think you might have a crayfish. They get a lot of crayfish. I saw a seagull eating a crayfish this morning on my walk in.
There's a definite trend for herring gulls and lesser blackback gulls to get, and this is what's happening, and it was actually reported in the paper that they get them out of the water, the crayfish, hoy them on the side of the road and let them bake.
So they actually
cook. And then they turn up and then they eat them.
Yeah.
And there's an absolute plague of crayfish at present. There's millions of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And there was actually a story on, I think it was actually Slotelstad or something. There's a guy who used to run the canal boats and he gets up on his roof every 2 weeks and gets a bucket full of crayfish.
Wow.
And the seagulls put him up there.
Yeah. God.
The seagulls in Leiden are getting violent.
Yeah.
I got attacked. Last time we did a podcast, we sat and had a few post-podcast refreshments.
Yeah.
And then by the time I was going home, I realized I was starving because I hadn't eaten all day. And I was like, I've got 5 minutes before the bus comes in. I'll run into the station. I'll get myself a sandwich.
Yeah.
All right. So I ran in, bought the sandwich. And when I came out, stomach started rumbling just at the thought I've got food like on my possession. And I was like, maybe I can just have a bite of the sandwich before I get on the bus.
Yeah.
So I'm stood waiting for the bus to come into its platform. What are the bus?
The stop.
Yeah, it's sort of a platform.
Right. So I'm waiting for the bus to pull up to there.
Yeah.
I open the sandwich, right? I take a bite out of the sandwich and someone smacks me across the head, like completely smacks me back there. Sandwich goes flying, drop me drink as well, look up, and there's a seagull on the floor eating my sandwich.
Ah.
It dive bombed me, completely smacked me on the top of the head. And then, of course, there's about 100 people in there. They're all laughing their heads off because they've just seen this guy attacked.
Mm.
And then 6 crows descend on me as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then the bus come in. I walked on. I picked my drink up and walked off. And the birds ate my sandwich. And I went on a bit punch drunk with a bad head.
There's a definite trend. I've seen this around Leiden, around the LOMC. There's two, right? And I always walk home to Uskes because, you know, I like to keep fit. And there's this bit where if you walk between the LOMC, the back end where the emergency exit is and where the university lecture hall is, you know, this is this alleyway where the ambulances go.
Yeah.
There's one bird, one herring gull that waits for anyone having a sandwich walking up in the morning, and it literally, and it's actually got to the point where it's not even violent. It literally just takes it out and goes.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And people just, every time someone eats on the street, which is good because these birds are teaching people manners. You know, you don't eat on the, well, anyway, there's another one.
Yeah.
There's another one just a bit further down near the station, right? Where probably this is the thing where I've also noticed where the fish fan is, or the Vietnamese lumpia car is.
Yeah.
And the fish fan outside Leiden station has been there since the 1960s. It's that family's carried on doing it. You know, Mariska's dad used to go there and get fish. Though I think they're a bit more expensive than most. Anyway. There's this definite alliance forming now between herring gulls and jackdaws, mm-hmm. right? They're mm-hmm. definitely working together. There's no doubt about this. And I've seen this. I've also seen this in Rotterdam, where the jackdaws, who, you know, I have great respect for jackdaws. I just want to put that out there. And also the gulls, where the gulls go in first, pretty much. The gulls are the heavy armor, right?
Yes.
And the jackdaws are the infantry, right? And it's a case of, right, okay, then it's combined ops. That straight in there, gulls knock about stuff, create the space for the troops to exploit. I've never seen anything like it. Every time someone steps out...
Yeah, well, I was the target of that last week.
Yeah, you were, yeah. Every time someone steps out from the awning of the fish thing, they're ready.
Yeah.
And there's actually one gull that sits on top of the awning, just looks over, just goes, waiting for someone to come out, and then they get them.
Ah.
There's
a sign, actually, at the stall.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not... Where the Mediterranean and the black-headed gulls haven't clocked us, because they go into this big messy kind of cavalcade of noise. They all come together, but they really cock it up. You know, like there's no real plan for them. They just like turn up and just charge into one big thing and then go away. You know, it's like it's some sort of big fight. But like the herring gulls and the jackdaws have the jackdaws patrol. Right, herring gull knocks off. Then they all fly. It's incredible. And I've also seen this in Groningen. I've seen this in Rotterdam. The Groningen is really, you know, they've got it nailed, the Groningen birds. I wouldn't ever eat a fish in the street in Groningen. Right. I'd hide, you know, yeah, you've got to have the hiding because they just get you. And that's also where the blackbacks really come, black-headed gulls come into play. You know, you can see I've been watching this for quite some time. Mm. You know, well, I watch gulls.
Busted it, my head.
They do. They
I was like, what?
They are powerful birds. Yeah. I mean, they are, you know, a full-size herring gull, it's not far off a buzzard in terms of its size. You know, it's certainly bigger than a peregrine or anything like that. So yeah, watch out for
that. I have on reliable notice that, you know, there's a cafe down near the botanical gardens.
Oh yes,
they're basically sitting on the roof around, kind of spying. And if you leave your plate there for half a second, they're in and off. Like they're coming for us. They are
coming for us. And also, did you know, around the back of the Hortus Botanicus, it's a very beautiful cafe behind the Hortus. And also, there's the canal that runs around, you know, this canal. Have you seen all the terrapins in it?
Yes.
There's hods of terrapins. They've been there for years. Tell you. We better talk about herring, actually, because I'm
waiting. We've been waiting on herring for about 20 minutes.
We've been distracted by terrapins.
I'm still more interested in you being a lobster.
Okay, I'll tell you about that in a minute. I'll tell you about my sort of mushroom enhanced healing trip in a sec. But let's get to the crux
herring.
Of the matter, herring, right?
Yes.
As anyone in the Netherlands will know, eating an anatstaart or often stukjes met een vlaggetje.
Yeah, I don't eat it.
You don't eat it. I know, this is incredible. it's possibly the food, I would say, of this area.
Yes.
I would say it's the thing that is not only brilliant, as in top draw brilliant, also, you know, absolutely everyone eats them. So, sort of
outside
communal.
Of Marcel.
Outside of Marcel.
Yes.
The law about it, it's actually season, in the sense that there's a calendar around it, as in the newer herring, which is June, July. Then you have these really big, fat, young herring coming in. Ooh. Also, I know. It's, oh God. But also, I think they have mythic qualities. I think it's the only way to get rid of a hangover. Outside of fizzy vitamin tablets.
No, I don't trust your hangover cures at all. I've tried a few of them and they've made me very, 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 very wrong.
Actually,
one of his cures was drinking white wine.
One of my favorite favorite herring experiences in Holland was interviewing Shana from My Brightest Diamond in a caravan out the back of Concurrent in Amsterdam.
Okay.
So sat in a caravan eating herring with My Brightest Diamond, talking about crows, actually. It's one of the nicest interview afternoon things I ever had. And then we all sat, it was new herring day. Oh. And our friends at Concurrent had bought like 17 kilos of herring. We all just sat around, this is nice.
Oh,
and then I got to sit in the caravan with she's always a delight to talk to
is.
Anyway.
But,
and we talked about crows and spirit animals.
Did you ever watch or be near the auction? The herring auction
I've never been to the herring auction. I really want to go because it's
I don't know what the herring auction is.
Oh, no, it's a really, it's a mythical thing. It's like who gets the best herring.
I'm not sure if it's mythical, but...
Isn't it Zandvoort or IJmuiden?
No, they do it everywhere. Uh-huh. It's they claim that it's the first barrel and they sell it for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So usually they get a barrel of new herring and sell it for a good cause and... It's usually the business clubs and things, they do this auction thing.
Oh, I've never seen that. I'd love to go. I'll have to get myself there.
I've not heard of that.
Right. Then that's the best excuse ever. Just
so it's like to celebrate the
celebrate
the
occasion
of the new
and actually make money for a good cause.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, we'll have to go.
I applaud that.
Yeah, me
especially
too.
Especially if we get to eat herring after it.
Oh, I know.
When I first arrived, I was not a fan of the raw herring. I found it repeated on me too much. Over time, certainly got used to it. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
I love it. I'm not keen on the chopped up part. I like it full.
I like it, and it's static like from it, the tail. Literally
soaked
straight
in
down.
Onions. Yeah, dipped bang. In onions.
But do you buy it to eat at home?
Yeah.
No.
I do.
No, it's something I'll have when I'm out.
Yeah, okay.
But I used to love a roll mop. You know, the pickled ones.
Yeah.
God.
I've got some in the fridge.
Oh, I could eat them by the...
I forgot. I've got some in the fridge. Mariska bought me some yesterday.
Ah.
Oh, anyway, so...
you've made some quite excited noises
this
morning.
I've made some excited noises. This is me making an excited noise. That's the coffee machine. If anyone hears, it's quite weird buzz in the background. But there's another thing about herring, of course, being in Leiden, which is important. The ritual eating of the herring on the 2nd of October.
Yeah.
Which is again, it has this weird calendar. So it's linked into sort of Dutch, Leiden's independence, Leiden's omzet, as in, you know, revenue kind of thing, or sort of gain.
Beating the Spanish people.
Beating the Spanish. There's loads of Spanish on 2 and 3 October.
Yeah, but yeah.
But it's, you have your hiring up Vita Brood met air.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything better. I it's the only time I really like eating processed white bread is that moment when you have full herring, butter, chopped onions, and you just get down and walk my son. And then it disappears and then it's ale, isn't it? Or the other one is Parling, of course, which Parling means being eel.
Yes, the smoked eel. Especially there's one on the Ringvaart just outside Lisse. It's like a little tiny place. It's been there for donkey's years. Oh, it's to die for.
Yeah.
So out on bike, just pull in, buy a couple. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, lobsters. Yeah.
Lobsters, all right, okay. So, there was a program on the BBC about lobsters recently, and it was about how, you know all these myths about lobsters, about them having difficult childhoods and all this sort of stuff. I'm not really sure what it all comes from. I was listening to it. I thought... It struck me a few weeks after, and this is about 5-6 months ago. There's this program about, you know, like microdosing can sort you out, you know. So with my PTSD, I thought to myself, right, okay, then let's give it a go, you know. So me and my wife, we microdosed in the house. And my house turned into a giant aquarium and I was the lobster. So I had to, for a good 7-8 hours,
okay,
I walked around our house clacking my lobster claws and inspecting everything in the house.
You walked around the house?
Well, sort of, I grooved. It was very, I grooved.
Okay.
I grooved like a lobster grooves and I inspected everything in the house to see what had my approval or didn't. And it was great. And I was just like, wow, yeah.
That's stupendous.
I was so happy about being a lobster. I got my books out, I put them back. I looked at my ornaments, I put them down again. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I felt a new...
You're in your own safe space.
I was. I felt a new way to move and it was great. And actually, I sometimes, when I'm, you know, feeling down or what have you, I think back to that, I think, right on.
Isn't there a movie that also is about a guy wants to be a lobster?
It could be. But I don't watch films. I mean, I've only seen about 6 films in my life. But
I'll look it up and send you one. Send you the link.
Do.
Yeah,
I'm also very curious. You identified yourself as a lobster.
Yeah, I mean, sense of identifying.
Okay. But did you also see Maris, your wife?
She's just sat there giggling in a corner. I think she's quite happy doing her own thing.
She was not a lobster.
But you didn't see, did she become an animal?
No, not as far as I know. She just like, you know, she's beatific smiles. And you know, Mariska's like big smiles and like just happily doing her thing.
But in your mind, she didn't turn into an animal?
No, she didn't.
Okay.
But I did. I was actually king of the lobsters. That was the best thing.
King of the lobsters, even.
I was like a massively important lobster.
Massively important lobster.
Nice.
Oh, it's great.
Was this before or after? Was this before or after the cat moved in?
Oh, no, this is months before the cat.
Okay, that's
it. Months before the cat.
Was a massively important lobster. Can you please get that on a t-shirt? Massively important lobster.
That will be the story on his next book on the back cover. Richard, massively important.
Massively important
lobster. I was
getting
into it. You know, it's like, it made a lot of sense. And I was like, because we overlook the motorway, where the back, there's a sort of a feed road. I was able to watch it from the safety of my own tank, all these cars zoom past and leave their chemtrails behind and stuff, or their vapor trails. And it was like, yeah. I suddenly felt at one.
There's a thing with like, certain people, when they take things, they start to think they're animals.
That's
quite a common...
No, I think it must be an atavistic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the whole microdosing thing. I mean, you know, you're supposed to do it like once every year or something like that. And after it sort of did rewire me a bit for a good month or so afterwards. But like, because you're able, you do walk in a different
I've
kind
heard
of way.
I've heard some people going on about that. It's not something I don't care to venture back into having quite a few bad acid trips in my youth. It's like, I don't need to damage my brain with that stuff anymore.
No.
But you don't want to be a massively important lobster.
I would love to be a massively important lobster, but I'm not. I think I'm now just too scared to go back because I had a really, really bad acid trip at New Year when I was about 16, 17. And then I didn't take it for a long time. And then when I took another one, I instantly went back to that bad place.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I don't want to go down that route anymore.
No,
just kind of steered clear. Yeah. But
yeah.
The day you turned into a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I tried to explain this to someone recently and they just... I actually thought to myself, there's no way I can actually just tell the story without other people telling it or leading it on. Because I thought, how in God's name do I explain that I actually became a dog and the only way to become human again was to repeat myself 3 times?
Yes.
And I stood on my head. Do you remember that?
Yes. And you literally bit my ankles. Oh, but I bit let's start. It started yes, with a friend of ours who looks like Roddy McDowall, the actor Roddy McDowall, worked in a really important job in Austria. Like really important job.
Yes. Governmental.
And he had some hash with him that he got from a friend who lives up a mountain in Nepal.
He said he got from the Dalai Lama.
It was a monk, in Nepal. So his friend,
okay,
he got this hash from, so he rolled a joint and passed it around to a couple. I didn't have any. Richard took two tokes on it and turned into a dog, right? And he was sitting on a little plastic chair.
That's right.
Right? Which was like a kid's plastic chair. Mm-hmm. So like the type of thing you would see a three-year-old sat on.
Yeah.
Richard sat on a blue plastic chair, started spinning around, like on his ass, going round and round in circles, turned into a dog and started biting my ankles for like 10 minutes. Like literally biting the trousers that we had and growling at me and snarling. And in the end, I got up and walked away.
He did.
About 10 minutes later, he followed me. I was talking to Neil Hannon of the Divine Comedy, and he walks over and goes, hi, Neil, Hannon, how, ah, you. And Neil Hannon looked at me and just ran off. It was the most bizarre 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you were fine.
Yeah, it was. I had to, I actually, at one point, I really understood dogs because me and dogs had a sort of checkered relationship. But I really started to get them after this, their sort of feelings of insecurity and need surrounded by these tall things, you know, speaking another language and not understanding dogs. And I thought to myself, well, you know, it's about time some of these humans got called to rights, but you know, so the nearest humans I attacked and it happened to be some of my best friends and I bit them. And then I also found that I'd suddenly lost this, though everything in my head, you know, was making complete sense. I was able to sort of, you know, see ley lines and all this kind of stuff and spaceships and so on. But I realized I couldn't speak. And somewhere after, even though I was able to stand on my head, and those people who might not be moved by the fact I sat in a child's chair, I am 6'4" and 99 kilos in weight. I'm not inconsiderable. No. And, because of that, I do have a certain kind of, you know, presence, if you will, albeit hopefully friendly. But I stood on my head and I thought, I remember even thinking, spinning around on this child's chair, spinning around thinking, why can't I do this like when I'm not a dog?
Yes.
And that was actually quite interesting. And then I thought to myself, somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought, if I don't say things three times, I'll never be able to speak again.
Ah.
And it came to me and I needed to speak to people outside of the people around me who I wanted to bite. Mm. So I had to run away and then I found Damien and then there's Neil Hannon from the Divine Comedy. Yeah, who got full barrel, really.
and Neil Hannon's like about 5'2". So it was like this just giant repeating at him.
Cool. Yeah.
And do you remember what kind of dog you were?
Yes, I do. I was like some sort of large Tibetan mountain guard dog.
Oh, okay.
Of a tan colour like that with a long shaggy coat. So I was like the kind of, I want, you know, not a Shih Tzu, but like the big ones. What are those? The sort of like the sheep dogs in in China or what have you. But it's one of those. And it's quite lithe, but, you know, a big dog.
Yeah.
And also like, you know, one who's like, hey, what's all this nonsense going down? You know,
yeah.
I needed to sort it out.
Yeah, okay.
It was, the guy who gave us the substances was quite the character, but I mean, we can't really talk about him here. We should actually have an episode on him. Because I think we could spend about 2 hours talking about him.
Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah, but on that, I think we talked for an hour on, well, yeah, my neuroses and fish, really.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, lads.
Yeah. I have one more question.
Yeah.
Do you have a different appreciation for lobsters now?
I don't eat them.
You don't eat them?
I refuse to eat lobsters. And I can tell you something. Like, there's a colleague of mine who told me that they used to have a lobster every Sunday.
Okay.
And I'm going like, first of all, how, you know, like, wow. But secondly, like, how do you eat them?
Oh, lobster's lovely.
I've never eaten.
I wonder if it might be crayfish to have and not lobster. It might, like, you can't afford to eat lobster every week unless you're catching it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive, isn't it?
It is. It's incredibly expensive. But and also, I'm sure I've read this and heard it a couple of times, but they think that lobsters are lobsters can't die. Like, if they were just lived and weren't,
boiled alive.
Well, they weren't eaten by other things or attacked or whatever, but, they reckon that lobsters is the one thing that, could live forever.
This really is really giving me a lot of hope for my dream.
You being the most important lobster of all, the thought of you living forever is something that pleases me immensely.
Yeah,
You're going to be
pleases one, me too.
Wandering the earth forever. Well, you can only do. You'd have to wander the Netherlands for forever.
No, I'm not going to wander the Netherlands.
Because if you go to Germany, you're going to turn into a dog and die within 20 years.
Yeah.
But if you go to England, you're going to be a cow
and get industrially slaughtered.
Yes. But if you stay in the Netherlands, you can be the world's most important lobster and live forever.
Amazing.
Wow. Imagine the possibility of other countries.
Wow. I mean, I'm just thinking about other countries as we speak now.
The 1,000-year-old lobster. That'll be you.
Oh, God. Amazing. I'm really excited now. This is just the beginning, isn't it?
I think we're going to get some fish, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to get some fish. All right, we'll speak to you later. All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.